to 14. If you'll be turning there. What I want to do this morning is just tell you that you're important to me. Yeah, the kids can't go back. I'm sorry. I didn't release them. I want you to know that I think that this is one of the greatest bunches of people that God's put together. I want to not just share out of the scriptures, but I want to share out of my heart. I'm excited. I'm tired. But mostly of all, I am just really thrilled this morning. I just sense a presence of the Holy Spirit in a unique way. And I just really want to share with you out of my heart. That's basically all I want to do this morning, and just share from the scriptures, but just some things that I sense are happening here and what I feel that the Lord's doing. I want you to stand with me. Just stretch your hands out and pray for me. Then I want to pray for you, and then we'll pray together. Father, I just receive their prayers now, Lord. I need an anointing. Father, I just ask you that you'll help us. Father, you'll help me share what is in my heart and, Lord, the things that you've shown me. And Father, I receive the prayers of the saints right now. Father, as the Apostle Paul prayed for the prayers of the saints and asked that the saints pray for him. Father, I ask for the prayers of the saints. Father, I need them. I understand, Lord God, the necessity that it is to have people praying for me. And Lord God, I just receive them right now. I ask you to anoint me. I ask you, Lord God, that I'll be a vessel of honor. And Lord God, that words will come from me, words of life, words of encouragement. And now, Father, I pray for them. Father, I ask you that you will touch their hearts and minister to their heart, that, Lord God, they can be plowed and then seed sown. And, Lord God, that good fruit can come 30, 60, and 100 fold out of their lives and out of my life. And, that, Father God, we can do what you've called us and placed us in this city, in this area, in this place to do today. And Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. We're all in agreement because we all say, amen. Be seated. This is one of my favorite passages, one of my most favorite. I'm kind of like Ted, they're all my favorite, but this is a very favorite passage of Scripture to me. It's in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 4. I want to read it. It says, "Where no oxen are, the manger is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of the ox." Where no oxen are, the manger is clean. But much increase comes from the strength of the ox. What I want to tell you this morning is you're a bunch of ox. And that's a compliment. I want you to know that that's a compliment. And that I think that this church, God has blessed us with oxen. We've also got some sheep. We've got some donkeys. We've got some camels. But I think God has really blessed us with oxen. I want to take time and just share about eight points about an ox. I didn't have it that way. I didn't plan it that way. But as I made my notes and I went back and counted them, I had 8 points. I think that's good because 8 is a number of newness. It's a new day. I think this is kind of a new situation that we're in right here. And so it's going to be fun just bringing you these 8 points about the ox. He says that where there is no ox, the manger is clean. The word manger there just talks about the feeding trough. Oxen won't come where there's no food to eat. If they do come, they'll either starve to death and die, or either they'll eventually leave and go find food. Oxen have to be fed. Where there's no oxen, the manger is clean. But he says that much increase or an abundance will come from the strength of the ox. The first thing that we want to see about the ox is that he's strong. Ox have to be strong. The ox in Scripture, the first thing that it brings to our thoughts is a strength. And I want to bring all these thoughts into present truth. So I believe that bringing it into this church shows that we are beginning to see here that this church is a strong church. This church has been able to withstand some blows already, and I better tell you, and you understand, that we've got more blows coming. But this church is strong. It's a strong church. I believe God's given us oxen so that it can be strong. I want to tell you, I believe that you're a strong people. You're strong people for the most part. You're not flakes. You're not here and gone. And I think we're strong people. I don't think we're wimps. I think we're learning to war. I think we're learning to battle. I think we're coming into a place in an area, in a time where we understand that strength is vital. We're not wimps here. I think that we're learning to war. We're coming against principalities and powers. We're learning how to battle. I think you're strong people. Second thing that I want to talk about, an ox, I see, is that strength is for a purpose. When you read scriptures, you find out that ox weren't just strong. They were strong for a purpose. God made them strong. And then we take them and we put yoke on them and they plow. When we read about the oxen in the scriptures, we read about plowing. Yoke of oxen. Now, when oxen get used to human beings, they are put a yoke and they're used to plow ground. They're made strong for a purpose. The purpose is to plow. I think that this church plows. I think that when you come to this church, if you remain in this church, you're plowed. I don't think you can come here and sit and never have your heart plowed. I think you have to deal with it. How many of you believe that? How many of you believe you come here that I'm gonna plow in your life and others are gonna plow in your life and if you stay here, you're gonna change. I'm changing. How many of you changing? Are you here today now? I mean, I know we're different. I want you talking to me. Give me some amens, Ted. You're way back there. Amen. But if you come to this church and you stay in this church, you're plowed. Your life is plowed. I think that's necessary of understanding that when we're ox, when you're an ox and I'm an ox, we're plowing people's lives. And when people come to this church, I'm plowing them, but I'm not the only one plowing them. You're plowing them. They see your life. They see my life. They look at it, and it causes a plowing to start happening in their life. There's a strength, and then there's a plowing. Now, to plow oxen, you have to yoke them. Now, most Christians don't like to be yoked. But Jesus says, take my yoke and learn of me. For my yoke is easy, and my burden's light. You see, there is a yoking that Christians have to understand and have to submit to. And it's His yoke. It's not a man's yoke. It's His yoke. And when He yokes us, then He takes us and He uses us to do some plowing. That's right. Amen, Roger? We're used of the Lord to plow. First thing we see is there's a strength. Second thing is there's a yoking and a plowing that will start happening. And I believe in this church and this body of people, I really believe that we've been yoked together to plow a place. I believe that the purpose and the vision of this place and those that come here is to see the kingdom of God established in your life, in your home, in this city, in this area. And I believe that's going to take a people that know how to yoke themselves together and do some plowing. Third thing that I see is necessary about the ox is that there's an eventual harvest that's expected. This week, as we came in here and began to work, and we worked Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, if you had seen the total destruction that was taking place in here Monday, you would have never thought that it would look like this Sunday. There was things going on here. But the reason that the things were going on here wasn't just to plow, wasn't just to make it prettier and bigger. The reason that we were doing it was for an eventual harvest. It takes a vision to have an ox. People just didn't buy oxen to have them in their stalls. The reason they had an ox was because they was going to plow looking for an eventual harvest. And what I'm trying to say to us this morning is I really believe that what God has prophesied over my life and over this church is beginning to happen and really take place. And if you'll begin to look around, you'll see it. You'll see it in your lives. You'll see it in other people's lives. You'll see it in my life and you'll see it in this structure. The word of the Lord came to this place and it said that there would be a gradual increase. There would be a gradual increase and that we would do it and there'd be schools and there would be those things. And as we start looking around, if you look at this place, any area that you want to investigate, any area that you want to look at, I believe you'll see the hand of the Lord in it. And it's for the harvest. Everything that we do is for the harvest. And I really believe that God has given us oxen here to bring the harvest. I believe you're an ox. This is an ox church. Say, this is an ox church. This is an ox church. A bunch of oxes. But that's a compliment. That's a compliment. I want us to understand that the reason that we're oxen is so that we can plow and that we can sow and that we can water and we can do those things and that God can bring an increase. How many want an increase? We got room now, don't we? There's an increase coming. It can't come unless there's a place to put them. And there's an increase now. There's a place now, place. And we doubled our size. We doubled the availability of seating place that we have. And people can come now and be ministered to. And the reason they can come is because there is going to be a harvest. If you really believe that what God has prophesied over this place is really coming to fruition, then you have to see a harvest coming. If anything so far has happened that God has said, then you've got to see what the rest of what He said is going to happen. And what I'm trying to do this morning is encourage us and let us see that God truly and for a surety is among us and that people really will be starting to come in here and fall on their face and say, really, God is here. We need that. There's your harvest. The ox are strong. The ox are for plowing and the ox are for harvest. And the fourth thing is they're used as offerings. Oxen in scriptures are used for offerings, and they were used as burnt offerings that were totally and wholly consumed by the fire of God. They were used for peace offerings. And one of the types of Jesus Christ is He is the Prince of Peace. Listen. We can have all the dignitaries come over here. We can have all the Gorbachevs come and talk about peace. But there's only one Prince of Peace. Gorbachev come to New York and they got all those flags out, spent all that money on those flags because Gorbachev was coming. Had them all up and down the streets because Gorbachev was coming. There was going to be peace in the land. We see right now how much peace there is in the land, don't we? See, man cannot bring peace. There's only one Prince of Peace. We can have all the Gorbachevs, and they can talk about peace, but I'll just tell you how I feel about that. I don't trust anybody that doesn't believe in Jesus Christ. And you see what kind of peace He's bringing right now. While America, the peacekeeper, is over here consumed in Iraq, then here goes Gorbachev doing what he's doing. There's only one Prince of Peace. There's only going to be one place that peace is truly going to come to the earth, and that's through the church of Jesus Christ. That's through His oxen and His people that will give themselves totally and wholly unto Him and become as consumed unto Him as a peace offering and a burnt offering unto Him. And I really believe, folks, that's what this church is becoming. People that are laying down everything. People that are laying down everything. It was so interesting that we were here, and Tom Long was up here pulling nails out of boards with me, And Roger from down in Rome was over here banging up and tearing up the old platform. And all these things were going on. And I was talking to him. And Tom said, this is amazing. I mean, half of you were here. We were here beating and banging. And Tom, this is amazing. He says, I've been to churches before they had work day. And I was the only one there. I said, I've been to that church. And Roger said the same thing. He said, this is great. This is wonderful. It wasn't just Monday and Tuesday. It was Wednesday and it was Thursday. And it was Friday. And people even came last night. What you got here today, if you could have seen it Monday, you'd say, this cannot be true. This is a true miracle. And then the carpet layers come in here Wednesday. And they laid this carpet all day long. They laid the carpet on these steps. They were going to lay some more carpet Wednesday night. I said, well, we're going to have people coming in here. And the guy that lays is a Christian. And he says, well, that's all right. We'll work around y'all and y'all work around us. And I said, man, you don't understand. There's going to be oxen running all over this place. He tried to stay a little while. Finally, I saw him getting up his tools and going out. Come in here Thursday morning. He said, great day. He said, that's amazing. And then the rest of the day, they didn't even try. Because there's ox running all over this place. I want to tell you, folks, I believe this is an oxen church. It's a church of people that are laying down their lives for Jesus Christ. They're becoming burnt offerings, totally consumed for Him and for His purposes, and bringing peace through this church to this world. Listen, the only place peace is going to come to Iraq, Iran, to to Israel, to America, to any place is through Jesus Christ. Don't put your confidence and your faith in a man. There's only one Prince of Peace. What's his name? Jesus Christ. That was the fourth one. The fifth point. Oxen are a type in Bible is of prosperity. God gave Abraham, in the book of Genesis, God gave Abraham sheep, he gave him oxen, he gave Abraham donkeys, and female donkeys, and camels. That's what the Bible says. He gave him sheep, he gave him oxen, he gave him donkeys, and female donkeys, and camels. Now, I may realize and really believe that there are sheep coming here. People that want to follow Jesus Christ as their shepherd. Do you believe that? So people are going to be coming in here that are really wanting to follow Jesus Christ. The first thing that I think that we all become is a sheep. We have to want to follow Him. Second thing that comes are going to be oxen. We're going to have people that want to work. You have to have oxen. People that are laborers, that are strong and will plow. I may believe there's some donkeys here. I may believe there's some female donkeys here. Now that's not fun. That's not bad. I'm not criticizing. We're going to have donkeys. Now donkeys carry the little loads. Because there's camels too. Camels carry the big loads. There's donkeys, there's camels, and there's sheep, but there's oxen. And all those things were given to Abraham, and he says, not only am I going to bless you with spiritual blessings, I'm going to bless you with the blessings of faithful Abraham. And we can bring that right into our church, and we can understand that we're going to have all those things here. Some of you aren't going to be up here and knocking down walls and plowing and doing these things, but you can be a camel, and you can carry some other burdens. And some of you might not be able to do all any of that, but you can be a sheep and can provide some wool and some things like that for the body of Christ. I mean, believe you that all of us have a purpose here. But what I saw this week, folks, was oxen. I saw people working, the laborers. I saw people coming in and wanting to see something happen in this area and laying down their lives and their time and what they wanted to do to come and to do what they felt like needed to be done. And I'm telling you, folks, I am so proud to be your pastor. I am so proud to be in this church. I am so glad that this is where God put me and put my family. I'm proud to be here. I'm like, well, who's that says that? Minnie Pearl? I'm just so proud to be here. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of this body. And that's what I'm trying to say today. What I'm trying to say is that God is doing exactly what God said He's going to do right here. And if you can begin to see it, you begin to see that God really is doing it. New Year's Eve, we were up here praying. We had our communion time. We were up here praying. And as I knelt to pray, we had some of this going on back here. We had the wall up, and I had kind of gotten disenchanted with it. I was tired of working on it, and the Lord just really spoke to me. I really believe it was the Lord, particularly now that it's come to pass so rapidly. Said, Lord, I really want to serve you, and Lord, I pray that 91 is going to be a great year for this body. And I just began to listen to the Lord and listening to my spirit. And what I began to hear was that I had to expand the vision. See, we were sitting in there. We were full. We were bringing out chairs every service. And it was an exciting time. We were all comfortable. But there wasn't any place to do anymore. And the Lord showed me that whatever I had been able to see, He'd been able to do. It's like what we've got to be able to see it, and then He'll do it. We were up the street. Building at that time was nowhere as near full. It was just a few people. And I began to see it full. I could see that building full, and it filled up. And we came here, and we built this place, and we began to minister, and it looked like this to start with. You know, there was a lot of place. God filled it up. How many of you will join with me now in seeing this place full? You got a lot of aisle there right now. I want it to get to where we have to close up our aisles a little bit. where we can have to crunch in just to get a little closer and see this place full. How many of you will begin not to come in and see this place like it is right now, half, three-fourths full, but really see it full? Will you lift your hand if you really want to see this place as full as all the other places that we've done? Well, see, that's the vision. That's the vision. It's not to make pretty curtains and have fancy lighting and a nice platform to have our dramas and things on and all these nice stuff. That's not what it's about, folks. What it's really about is plowing. Pastor Tebow, as he prayed this morning, it was so much what I'm feeling. It's not for these reasons. The reason is this is glorious. How many believe that God really does want the best? He wants us to have the best. How many believe that Solomon's temple was the best? You believe it was? It was the best. And I really believe God wants the best. I really do. But at the same time, it's to minister to people. It's to have oxen that'll plow. Strong people. Plowing in the lives of people. It's to have people that can plow so that a harvest can come, an eventual harvest will come. It's to have people that can come together and work and be yoked together as a team. We can't have individual visions. We've got to be one corporate vision, and that's the way this church works, is we have a single vision, and there's a lot of other things that's going on with it. Single purposeful vision. But we're all yoked together for the same purpose. And that purpose is to bring the kingdom of God to this area. Jesus said, when you pray, pray that the kingdom of God will come. Not that we go to the kingdom. Is that right? Pray, he says, thy kingdom and thy will be done where? On earth. And that's the whole purpose and that's the whole vision. And it's a sign of God's prosperity. And what I'm saying here in this prosperity, I believe that in churches, in the church that Tom was talking about, in the church that Roger was talking about, the church that all of us have been to at one time or another, where there were no laborers, where there were no oxen, I don't believe God was blessing there. I don't believe that God's prosperity was upon that place. But upon this place, there's a prosperity because we've got so many oxen. We've got sheep. We've got donkeys. We've got camels here. God's prosperity is among us. I want us to understand that. I want us to understand God is prospering this place. What God said He would do, He will do until the day of Jesus Christ. What He said He's going to do here, if you'll just start looking around, I don't believe there's another place around here that you'll go to and you'll find God moving in any more than He's moving right here. I'm not being braggadocious and boastful, but I am boasting in the Lord. I believe if you look at the leadership of this place, the government of this place, you'll see oxen. Do you believe that? I believe if you look at the families of this place, you'll see oxen. You'll see prosperity. You can look at anywhere that you want to. You look in my life, you'll see an ox. You'll see somebody that's laboring. You'll see somebody that's laying himself down. You'll see somebody that's presenting himself unto the Lord. You look in my family, I believe you can look at anything that you want to look at this church, and you'll see God prospering it and God blessing it. I really believe that. I believe it's a sign of God's prosperity on a place, and I'm not talking about other places or nothing like that. But I'm just trying to show you that I really believe God is moving here and God is blessing here. God removes oxen in judgment. In Egypt, one of the plagues that came, God killed their oxen. He killed their cattle. And I really believe that when God judges the church, one thing He'll take out are those that'll labor, those that'll work. I don't see that here. What I see, people are coming here that want to work. People that'll drive all the way up from Rome to help us tear down a platform. That's what I see. I see people driving all the way from Rossville to come and help us paint molding. I see God adding people here that want to work. Not so we'll have a pretty place, but so there'll be a place prepared for a bride. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 4, what we read was this. Where no oxen are, the manger is clean. But much increase comes by the strength of oxen. There has to be food provided for the oxen. That's the eldership's responsibility here. My responsibility and this leadership's responsibility at this church is to make sure there's food provided for the oxen. But you tell me, how will much increase come? By the strength of what? Oxen. If we want increase, we've got to have ox. And what I'm trying to tell you this morning is I really believe this church is that kind of a church. I believe God is building it that way. I believe that in my whole time of serving the Lord, I've been an ox. I've served God with all of my fervency. I've been there on work times, and God's blessed me with people that want to work. God's put people in this church that want to work. Worked every night. I worked every day and every night. We'd quit about 9 o'clock. I'd get home probably about 10. We started on this PA system Friday. It had to be done. It was total revamping it, just totally revamping it. It went very slowly. 11 o'clock came, people were still here soldering wires together. 12 o'clock came, people were still here soldering wires together. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, people were still here soldering wires together. 5 o'clock came, people were still here working. I'm talking AM. Finally, Lance and I was here. Lance and I stayed here all night, putting wires together and working. People were back the next morning, working, hanging curtains, ironing curtains. And I'm about to cry because I'm just telling you. You guys ministered to me so much this week. I know you did it as unto the Lord, and I know you did it for this body, but I also know you was doing it for me. You wanted it done because you knew one reason is you knew I wanted it done. And I just want to tell you this morning how much I love you. You really laid down your lives this week. You worked hard. And I appreciate you. Love a church that's full of ox. People that are really laboring and working hard. Wanting to see the kingdom of God come to an area. Wanting to see His church do what His church is supposed to do. He says that much increase will come that way. If we'll do what we're supposed to do, if we'll become burnt sacrifices and peace sacrificing, He says much increase will come. Folks, I want to tell you, your labor is not in vain. What God said He would do, He's going to do it. I really believe this entire area is going to be affected by the people that are sitting in the chairs that I'm looking at. I believe it. Much increase comes. Oxen won't be found where there's no food, at least not long. But we've got to understand that to have the increase that we all want to see, to have the lives changed that we're here to change, we need to have little ox in all of us. And the sixth thing, I want to talk about three little things that are a little bit different. I want you to know that ox are expensive. Oxen are expensive. Oxen was the most expensive animal that you would go and purchase. They were trained to plow. You could eat them. They were expensive. You had to feed them, and they eat a lot. Oxen are expensive. I want to tell you, as Dr. Cash said as he took up the offering, what we did was not inexpensive, folks. What we did was expensive. But if you're going to have a vision, and you're going to have oxen in your church, it's going to be expensive. I'll give you an example. The first part of 1990, we sat down with our youth leaders, Steve and Lance and Monty. They gave us their vision for 1990. They told us that they were going to be taking up monies and having fundraisers to do what they wanted to do. They had things planned nearly every month. They were going here and going there, and we blessed them and we agreed with them. Our spirits bore witness that what they were wanting to do was right on, and we needed to be with them. We needed to back them. We needed to support them. And do all we could do for them. We prayed for them. They got up and went out of the room. And Pastor Tebow said, "Let me tell you guys something." Said they're going to try the best they can to supply the monies they need to supply. But there is no way that youth group's going to supply all that money they're going to have. We're going to have to help them. And we did. What am I saying? These guys are oxen. They're plowing, folks. They're strong men. They're plowing the hearts and the lives of young people. From this size up, some of these men are plowing some of us that are much older than them. To have oxen in your midst is expensive. You got to feed them. You got to take care of them. You got to do what they got to have done for. Oxen are expensive. I'm an ox. To have me in your midst is going to be expensive. There's always going to be walls that need to come down. There's always going to be buildings that need to be built. There's always going to be carpet that must be laid. There's always going to be lights that need to be hung. And you all know that I'll do my part, but it's going to be expensive. Some of you already said, "Well, I already know that, brother. You didn't tell me nothing new." How many understand what I just said, though? If we're going to have a vision, and we're going to plow. It's going to be expensive. Now, we're not going to take up another $44,000 offering. We're not going to do that. You know what I'm talking about. It costs things. It costs in the natural to get things accomplished in people's lives. Oxen are expensive. This is the seventh thing. Is oxen require time? The old farmer, he had to stop what he was doing to go make sure that his oxen were fed. To make sure that his oxen got some sort of exercise. To make sure that his oxen were taken care of. He had to lay down what he wanted to do. He had to change his schedule so that his oxen could take care of themselves. I just told you, or would be taken care of. I just told you about the youth group and how their whole schedule, all they had to do. Folks, I had to change many of my schedules, things that I had planned to do, so that I could go and help them do what they were doing. But we Florida, with Gatlinburg, these things that they do require time, and I have to lay down oftentimes things that I'm doing to go be with them. Now, what am I saying? Many of you this week, just this week, you laid down what you wanted to do, what you wanted to do, to come and do what needed to be done. That's what ox do. What I'm trying to say is oxen require time. If I'm your pastor and I'm an ox, then what I'm going to be doing from time to time is say, well, this week we're going to come in, we're going to knock out walls, we're going to be doing this, we're going to be doing that. Is that all right? Because what we're doing is plowing. What we're doing is planting. Because we've got a harvest coming. If God has done anything that He said He's going to do, I promise you, the harvest is on its way. Gradual increase, the prophet said. Gradual increase. And that's exactly... how many of you really would rather see a gradual increase than an all of a sudden onslaught of folks? I would rather see a gradual increase. Now, some of you want them all to come one time. Folks, we can't have them all at one time. I want to know your name. I want to know where you live at. And if we have a bunch of folks coming here at one time, I won't be able to have that kind of intimacy. Now, there may be a time in a day when we get to that point where we can't. But I'm telling you right now, I really like it like it's happening. I want them to come in so that we can know their names. And I forget people's names now. I want to know you some. I want to be able to minister into your life. I just don't want to be a person that you come and see on Sunday. I want to be somebody that you know something about. I want to sit in your houses and eat a meal with you and have some sort of communion with you. I want to know you. And what I like is the way it's happening. Don't you? Let's just pray it keeps on happening just like it's happening. Gradual increase. There was a time I thought I wanted it all at one time. If they came, we wouldn't be able to handle them. We wouldn't be able to take care of them. You know, we'd lose a lot because we couldn't reach their lives. We couldn't touch them. It'll require time. Number eight is oxen make messes. If you got an ox in your stall, do you suppose there's going to be some mess that you're going to have to clean up? How many knows I've made some messes? You guys are gentle to me today. No, I'm tired. Nobody raised their hand, but you know I have. I've made some messes. Willis is smiling at me. Willis, I made some messes, hadn't I, Willis? I've made some messes. You got an ox in your stall. You got an ox in your manger. I promise you there's going to be some messes. If you were here Monday night and Tuesday night, how many saw? There was a mess here. If you'd have been here last night, you'd have said, there's a mess here. George and Agnes got here yesterday and helped us most of the day. There was a mess outside. There's a mess inside. There's a mess up here. They carried carpet out, put down there, swept up the stuff. George moved the old dump truck around there. I'm telling you, there's a mess. There's ox in the midst. There's messes. As long as we got oxen, though, we're going to have increase done. As long as there's oxen in our midst, there's going to be a plowing going on. There's going to be an increase coming. There's going to be a vision expected. And people will be coming from Rome, from Rossville. Saying, help us. Like that guy from Macedonia. Paul saw in the vision. Come help us. Is that all right? How many really want that? Shout for me. Stand up. Let's stand up and shout. You guys are too quiet today. Everybody, stand up. All right. Stretch. There you go. I see joy back there. Oh, going to sleep way back here. We're going to shout. You love Jesus? All right. Bible says... shout unto Him with a voice of triumph. I want you to be victorious this morning, and I want you to shout. All right, on three. One, two, three. Hallelujah! Well, come on, let's shout unto God. Glory to God!
Hallelujah, God's doing something here. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. I want you to know God's here. Yeah. Woo! But we needed that. Yes, we did. All right. All right. All right. And be seated. I've still got everything on. We needed that. We got it. Oh, you know God is here, folks. I saw people knocking down this wall. But you know who really did it? All right. Know that if something happened, there's an excitement. I am excited, aren't I? All right. Eighth thing. I've done it. They're messes. Messes. I make messes. You make messes. We make messes. But God's in the midst of our mess. Aren't you glad? How many of you really see something very good going on right here? And really believe that the thing that He said He would perform, He is able to do it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want you to know I'm so happy and proud to be your pastor. I want to say something to the young people. We couldn't have done it without you guys. I just want you to know, all the young people that are here, they were here every day, every night. They were working, slacking floors, pulling nails. They were here painting walls, painting molding, taking out stuff, throwing it on the truck, cleaning and sweeping and vacuuming. Young people couldn't have done it without you. Don't you ever feel inferior. You have respect to your elders, but I want you to know, I want you to know how much we respect you and that we need you. Can't call names, but I'm just so appreciative of all you that are ox, all you that are sheep, all of you that are donkeys, and all of you that are camels. I just love you so very, very much. And I just wanted to tell you today that I do. And if you ever think that I don't want to be your pastor, then you've thought wrong. I know we're not putting it up for vote. I'm just wanting to tell you how much I love you and how much I appreciate you and how much you've ministered to me this week. I just love you so much. I'm done. I just want to give an altar call, see if there's somebody that wants me to pray for them. And then we'll go home. We'll come back tonight at 6 o'clock. We'll tear down this wall. I want you to stand up, please. Heads bowed. Two things I want to just touch. On this first one, I'm not going to ask you to come down or anything. I just want to know you're being ministered to. Maybe you've been away from the Lord and His presence and you haven't sensed Him. Your heart is too. You feel distant from the Lord. You feel distant from His body. You feel distant from His presence. And you're like struggling. And you really want to get back to that secret place. You want to get back to the shadows of the Almighty and have His protection on and in your life. And right now, all I want you to do, I'm not going to ask you to come down here. I just want you to lift your hand so that I can be praying for you and that I can help minister to you and that I'll be aware you're struggling. Would you lift your hand if that's you today? I see several hands. Hold them up there so I can know. Lift them up high, please. Somebody's, okay. Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you for being honest, and I'll be trying to get in touch with you and touch your life. I want you to be strong in the Lord. I want you to be oxen. I want you to grow, not just to work here, but labor in the lives of other people. Often when we're struggling, when we're fighting for our own lives, it's very difficult to minister to people's lives that we really need to minister to. I want to help you because I want you to minister to lives. Today you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You need to come down today. Here's why. The Bible says that if you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that He's Lord and that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. There's a confession. There's an act of your will that must come forth and say, I'm now a Christian. And that's what one thing that water baptism is. And by the way, we're not having water baptism tonight. It will be next Sunday night. I just didn't think we'd be ready. We were ready. We could have done it. But just wait till next Sunday night for water baptism. That's one thing that water baptism is a public confession. But you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or maybe one time you thought He did. You did. Maybe one time you thought you prayed the sinner's prayer and you thought that you were moving in God only to find out that it wasn't true. That's you today. I want you to raise your hand. Let me know. You need salvation. Is that you? Would you lift your hand? Anybody here? Praise God. Everybody here is saved. Everybody here knows Jesus as their Lord. Amen. Not going to linger that. Just wanted to know. Sometimes, if you come to church here, you know that I don't often do that. I really feel that people come down and let me know they want to get saved or whatever. But I just know that today, I want to tell you, you're oxen. I'm proud of you. I am a proud pastor when I meet with these ministers and I tell them I pastor the church at Lafayette. That's my church that God has put me in, and that's where I go to church and that's where I minister. I'm a proud person. I want you to be proud of me. I studied to show myself approved. This week was a little different. I didn't do a whole lot of studying this week and a whole lot of praying. But I just wanted to tell you how much I love you, how much I appreciate all you've done, and how you ministered to me. Let's pray together. Father, this is a special day. Father, maybe we just come to you.